Hey, popcorn talkers, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to find out how a squad beats a party, beats a pack of dogs, and leaves a guy with two strings pulling up the rear. Plus, I get to go see a movie. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Historic Hollywood.
Hey, look at that.
I was like, hey, everybody. What?
This is cool.
Okay.
Hey, welcome, everybody, to Box Office Breakdown. We did a little switcheroo there on you. Thought you were going on history.
Psych.
Gotcha. Yeah.
In a sense, we are talking history because we're talking about the box office that was. That's right, folks.
Yeah. And will be.
Yes. Yes, we talk about the weekend that was, and also we serve as your box office prognosticators. Mm-hmm. For the week ahead.
Oh, my God, that word.
I know. I can't get it up. I've got it. It's my thing
First
now,
off,
guys.
You got us with that tongue twister right at the start. I was like, oh, my God. Like, all that?
He's like, I got it.
I wouldn't make it.
I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And you guys should be stalking me online at DJ Richie Sky on Instagram and Twitter.
Follow him everywhere he goes.
I love it.
Our beloved Quinn right now, she has gone away. She's busy with work and other things, but she will be back. Don't worry, folks. She will be back here on this panel soon enough. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, though, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can hop on the chat right now. James in the booth is going to pull up the chat. We'd love to have you interacting with us as we talk about the show. Mm-hmm. Make sure you start chiming in now with your thoughts about the week that lies ahead for our box office bet. Of course, the 3 movies that are going to be competing for a possible viewing by one of us will be Don't Breathe, Hands of Stone, and Mechanic Resurrection.
Can we just do Don't Breathe so I can go ahead and see the movie?
I finally saw the trailer, and I'm like, oh, that does look good.
I told you. Listen, I'm like so here for that movie.
We're going by the fans.
It stresses me out. Like, that's how like intense it is.
Aww.
I know.
But that lays a little bit ahead for us. In the meantime, as always, we like to start with a little update from Richie Sky and his movie viewing. I mean, so Richie's has 2 movies on his plate there.
So, first off, I don't feel as though...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I don't feel as though... Because last week, Steven said that it's not the movie I should see. And I totally have to go with that.
Oh, for Sasha's part, yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. I am still in... 9 Lives is still on my lineup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
Okay, listen. Listen, Linda. But here's the thing. So I had to make a decision. I had to make some tough decisions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had to see Suicide Squad instead.
You had to.
Wait,
I didn't see it the first time. I'm giving myself 1 movie a weekend.
Oh, right, because you went and saw Bourne instead.
Exactly.
Oh, so wait, what'd you think of it?
I actually loved it, but I get what people say about like kind of like the storyline because I just felt like we could have had a better villain than this.
The villain's a bit weak.
I mean, just in the sense of, like, the villain's plot was weak to me.
Okay.
I was here for the ring-like enchantress. I was here for that. You know, I was cool with it. What I wasn't really here for was the brother.
Incubus?
Yeah. And the evil machine thing. Why would a witch need a machine?
I'm still. Well, because humans—that's what they. Listen, that's what they worship now.
I just didn't. I was just kind of like, what? Like,
yes.
She could have just cast a spell or something.
You know what? We said that before, but like with the new recent Captain America, I thought that villain reveal was weak too. Oh no! I'm sorry. The other one. Wait.
Batman versus Superman.
No, Avengers. The most recent Avenger movie.
Civil War.
When you get what the villain's motive was, I'm like.
Oh, Baron Zemo's, or who should have been
that was a little weak.
And then in the comic books, I mean, Baron Zemo is, like, badass. So it's would you water him down like that?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, I love the movie. I thought Viola Davis was a worse villain than anybody in the movie.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like, just, she was kind of a star-raving bitch. I did.
Okay.
I loved it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. It was great for me.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
And I totally don't regret my decision to go see that over 9 Lives.
Well, okay. Interesting. I like how we do not honor our commitments here on Box Office Breakdown. That is
good. Hold on.
That is good.
But here's the thing. I did make a commitment. I'm going to stick to it, just like I did with, what was that movie with the ogres?
Warcraft. Yeah. World of Warcraft. Yes.
I can't wait till part 2.
No, well, we all agree the villain could be better. We're looking over at the chat. I'm like, yeah, it's a bit weak.
I mean, as an idea, Enchantress is exciting to me.
Yeah.
But what they did was like, really?
Yeah.
Is this the Fantastic I'm like, you Four?
You guys, like, pretty much created your own villain. Ha ha! You're like, I think we could have prevented half of that, but that's okay.
Fun. Yeah. Someone's
already calling you out of not watching movies.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh. I'm sorry, I can't
What's
even...
What's new? That's right, Alvin. What's
can't,
new?
I can't see the chat. It's so far away.
Thank you, Hunto. I totally got ready for Kubo. We'll talk about that.
Well, with this, our bet last week for our box office bet, yeah. the movie for contention was Ben-Hur. So, of course...
It looks like you lost.
Yeah, it looks like...
Oh, my God. You got to go see a movie.
But guess what? You know, I'm going to honor my commitment. Before we tape next week, I will have seen Ben-Hur.
All right.
I'll show you how it's done, Richie's guy. I'm not excited about this whatsoever. But it actually, it surprisingly did well. But so I guess as we're talking about numbers, we'll get right into it. Our top five as we jump in. Once again, coming up at the top spot, Suicide Squad. Richie Sky had to see it there. Thanks to Richie Sky.
It's back on top.
That's right. Pulled in $20 million. So pretty much what we thought it was going to be.
I would love to see another one.
I guess.
I just felt like, I have to say this one last thing, because I know we've talked about this movie enough, but I just felt like they lost a great opportunity to just make the Joker the villain.
Yeah. That was the problem. A lot of people in the trailer, they're like, so the Joker's not really in it. I'm like,
he's
not. But the trailer makes it out like he's the villain. But
it's this very strange side plot that was just like, this could have been more, like, expanded into the main, like, centerpiece for the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a shame when you could take out all the Joker parts and not have it affect the story whatsoever.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about it before, the DC Direct video movie, the Assault on Arkham. Such a better idea of incorporating Joker into a Suicide Squad story.
And the Joker was fascinating. I was here for Jared as
really?
it was a cackle crazy, you know what I'm saying, kind of Joker.
Yeah, it was nice to have a brand new interpretation because it's like
better.
Because it's like, we as the fans don't own that character, so it's nice to see a new version, even if you don't like it, because then maybe what happens after that? Yeah. Like, maybe there'll be an even better option, because then somebody will be like, oh, well, that was interesting, let's, like, change it another way.
Yeah,
I don't know if I really enjoyed him being more of a pimp sort of kind of thing. It's going to be like a pimp Joker. I don't know if I like that version.
Okay. Yeah. Every Joker's different.
That's very true. But I think out of the Jokers that we've seen so far, my least favorite interpretation of the character.
Fair enough.
Of course, Cesar Romero, always number one, because he wore that sweet mustache even with grease paint. So, look at that. Way to go, Cesar Romero. Mm-hmm. Now, Suicide Squad, though, did dominate the box office, so beat out Sausage Party, which still held on strong for a second week, coming in there at a little over $15 million.
But you know what? We predicted this last week when we were trying to figure out our top five, that we're like, it's going to be really hard, and it is. It's like 15, 14, 12, and 11. They're all really tight. It's not like a 30 to 11 for the gap, you know, between how much movies made. So, man, that made it so hard to guess what each film was going to make this week.
And it was this one because I know last week as we were doing our top five, I really went out and thought, I thought Kubo could possibly make number two. I was really hoping that it would eke out at number one, but it just did not do as well. I don't think as anybody thought at the box office, especially for one that seems to be just such more accessible and fun movie.
But why did we box trolls?
Advertising campaign was through the roof, man.
Yeah,
they had everybody at a lot of theaters. I can't say all of them. I've been to every theater, but the people at movie theaters are wearing the T-shirts. The billboards are everywhere. The ads are everywhere. So I mean, it gets it out there.
How much attention do you guys pay attention to the billboards and things like that at the movies?
I do.
I kind of just walk by to go get my popcorn and my drink and run to the restroom before I have to go into the theater because I have a weak bladder. But you know, TMI. But that's just my mode when I go into the movies.
Are you one of those people who gets up during the movie?
I know I cannot. I will hold it until I'm in pain and the credits are rolling. Like, that's me.
I don't know, because I think with theater advertising, it depends. Like, I think for people that are well-read or interested about the movie industry, what you're seeing inside a movie theater, whether you're walking through the halls or you're seeing on the screen, things you pretty much know that are coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always cool to see a poster or some visuals or something, but you're not really surprised. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know they were doing this sort of movie.
Yeah, I'm usually blithely unaware, but what I do get a lot of is I see a lot of previews when I'm watching. Like, I'll watch the previews for the movies that we're going to talk about, and then I start to see all of these other previews, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
So
I when we get to it, I'll say for Kubo. But they have there's a lot of really good family movies coming out, and I am super excited.
Oh, look at that.
Just saying.
As
did they cut some Joker scenes in the movie? I heard that they did cut out some scenes and thinned it, but
yeah. Why?
I don't know what would have added to it, because it already, a lot of people felt like there was too much going on, like it was messy that...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if anything that it cut had him more involved in the plot or not. Well, no, I did read that at the end. You did before they changed it. You did see him come out of the burned helicopter crash.
Yeah,
and he had more involvement at the climax of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But really? They took that part out. Yeah, so he's all.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's all kind of burned up and stuff from the plane wreckage, and he starts messing around.
Where
the squad.
Was that footage at? Did I not stay long enough?
Well, no. Check out the DVD, I guess, or the Blu-ray when it comes out. They may have that as some like deleted scenes, some alternate paths that the movie could have taken.
Don't make me that mad that I should that they have should have just changed the entire movie.
Well, instead, we got we had like Octavio coming about the emo belly dancer. That's what they should have called Enchantress.
Good point. Because looking at her outfit because then I was curious. I'm like, what does she look like in the comic books? Because I didn't read that series, but I'm like, that's a big change.
That is a huge change.
Which part?
Just Enchantress, like originally what she looked like. Uh-huh. Other images, it's more just like. A green bodysuit thing.
With a cool black, like, witch's hat sort of
thing.
And
it looks cool. Yeah. And then it's like, why is she wearing some bikini and drapey, dirty stuff and they rub grease paint all over? You're just like, ooh. I mean, I get, like, the darker, like,
I think
dirty,
they tried to make
earthy
her creepy.
Look, but still, I'm like, meh.
Like a creepy type of villain.
But the dancing when she's... Ugh,
that was,
just
that
was
the worst. I just wish they would have kept her, like, the little dark figure with the glowing eyes. I like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know about
it. The only part in that with Enchantress, though, that I did love in Suicide Squad is the hand grab twist.
That was nice.
That was cool. Like,
that
was
like,
that's a great transition.
Really, really dope.
And then you're like, and then that's about the height of the excitement of that.
Yeah, I just know why they'd make her so dirty. You could have still done kept her closer to her original look and still done cool moments like that with the hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't.
That's okay.
Coming in at number three, we've got War Dogs. Jonah Hill, Miles Teller, look at there, coming in from Warner Brothers. $14.3 million. I mean, I feel like every time I think of that movie, I just think of the one billboard or the poster that I thought was kind of like a take on like Scarface of sorts.
Yes, that's the one that I've seen all over the place. But I guess 14's not too bad for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's one of those that it seems like kind of intriguing, but I didn't feel like any compulsion to go see it at the theater.
Yes.
In the theater.
No.
I saw the trailer and I'm like, oh, that looks interesting based on a true story. Oh, okay. I'm a little more intrigued. Do I have to see it opening weekend?
Take it to Netflix.
Yeah. You're like, I'll wait.
And for that, is that solely dependent on the stars of that film? If it was somebody that you found more intriguing than, say, Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, would that be a story that you'd want to go see right away?
Perhaps.
Maybe. Well, because Jonah Hill he's more like the sidekick appeal lately, or he's in the ensemble. And then it's like nobody is the big enough star to really name pull in that one.
I should have just put Channing Tatum in there.
Well, all right, or flip it. Say Channing Tatum and somebody else was in that role as opposed to Jonah Hill and Miles Teller. Would you be more interested in seeing that opening weekend?
I just think that he has a bigger name at this point. That
Jonah or Miles?
No, I'm thinking like somebody like Channing Tatum versus... No, I'm just trying to give like
an
option.
They're supposed to be kind of like dweeby guys.
Yeah, like, but that makes, I think, cool. People less likely to see it though. Just with that type of movie. I mean, it looks like it could be sexy.
Now, but
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Chat room, thank you. War Dogs, aka Fat Lord of War. Lord of War was, I thought that was really cool.
Good old Nicolas Cage.
Like, that
man.
Was a really good movie.
Oops.
But good point.
Now, for Richie, you brought up, like, you know, a big enough name. So does big name equal, like, good actors, though, for you?
No.
I won't say that, but I do think that sometimes it equals a bigger box office draw.
Yeah.
Better promotion. You know what I'm saying?
People see a name they recognize, and if they like them, they'll see the movie no matter what. I remember working at Blockbuster.
Wall of China.
That's how they're advertising that one, for sure. But, like, working at Blockbuster, there was this movie that came out that was, like, all these big names, and people rented it solely because of that, and everybody hated it.
Do you miss Blockbuster?
I do. I liked going into a video store.
I do, too.
But it's one of those things that people rented this one movie, and it was like... Nobody who rented it liked it, and they only got it because, like, oh my gosh, all these famous people are in it, and everybody hated it.
Was it Mars Attacks?
No.
James,
Mars Attacks.
Come on.
No, it was some, like, random drama movie that, like, it's like, who cares? But yeah, they absolutely movies use star appeal to get people to watch it.
Where else are you going to see, Sarah Jessica Parker with her head on a dog? Come on, James. It's exciting.
I just remember seeing that in the theaters as a kid, and I was so excited, and I was like, this is so dumb. But I bet if I watched it now that I'm an adult, I'd love it.
That's true.
I remember liking it. I thought it was so cool.
There's something about Jack Nicholson when he's the president. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. I always find that amusing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Hunter saying, Miles Teller equals box office poison. Miles Teller, he's not enough of a draw for me to want to be seeing something that he's done opening weekend.
I think it depends, maybe. No, he's definitely not a big enough draw, but it also depends what character he's playing. Like, I remember him from the Divergent series, and I'm like, I hate you. He's just that character that you're like, I hate that character. So then it's like, now you're in this movie that I'm supposed to like you?
Seriously.
And so, like, that's the first time you see him. So that kind of sticks with you, too. Like, what's the first experience you have with an actor? Or what do you most know them for? And then if they change, you're just like, well, I have this in the back of my head that I don't like you or something.
I hated that whole series.
Oh, I like them. And I like that. I only read the first book, but anyway.
Now,
I should have done that.
Oh, yeah, Hell or High Water. I didn't get to that one, but I've heard good stuff for that one.
Oh, all right.
That was another movie that came out that...
yes, for your blockbuster.
Yeah, that's supposed to be really good. Yeah, Chris Pine and Ben Foster. It's supposed to be mm-hmm. really good. At number four, movie that Carrie repping a little bit there. We've got Kubo and the Two Strings.
Tell us about. Did you see Focus? This movie?
I did, absolutely. Tell us about it. So yeah, I got my samurai shirt, and then I got my. You guys can't see it because you're so far away on that camera, but I have little paper crane earrings. I went as a group because it was my birthday during that week, so I'm like, hey, let's all go see it. Now I can tell you guys from experience of having at least 12 people in the theater. Of a panel of people seeing it. Everybody enjoyed it. Everybody was an adult. No children in this one. It is rated PG, and I wouldn't recommend it for small children because there's some definitely scary bits. People die. It's more serious, and people are talking about the other films of theirs.
Ah, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, it's...
at first I wasn't, but my interest, Carrie.
It was definitely... And it's absolutely beautiful. Like, you forget the stop-motion animation. I was like... Wow, it's so good. And I've seen all their other films, too. I mean, like, Coraline was scary, which there's a part in the book that's scarier, but still. Paranorman is kind of... I feel Paranorman was more kid-friendly, though spooky. And then Box Trolls wasn't really scary at all. But Kubo has some creepy stuff in it. But it also really captures the essence of family and still connecting to your loved ones, even after they've moved on. And not with being like a weird about it. Mm-hmm. It's just like not too heavy handed with it, you know. And again, beautiful. I thought the story was really interesting, and it's a blend of fantasy and reality. And then you're kind of like, wait, what really is going on? And then you kind of learn that like weird stuff does happen in this little world, but they explain why. And the characters. Now this is a fun one. Okay, so guys, I want to talk about. So I looked up the actors on this one, main voice actors. They are white people, and technically the character is, like, it's a Japanese story. There are Japanese actors if you go down the list of voice actors, but the main ones, like Charlize Theron, Matthew McConaughey, and,
Charlize Theron.
Thank you. I'm like, I can't pronounce names right now. No, I did not see it in 3D because I'm cheap, and I went to the first show that was $7.49, and the other show was $17.49. And if I'm bringing guests, I'm going to make them pay the lesser price because I'm like, no. I do know a lot of people did want to see it in 3D, and they recommend it because it just is so beautiful. Anyway, so it's interesting that this movie, even though it's like Japanese in theme and story, doesn't have a lot of Japanese actors as the main characters. So the backdoor discussion about big names, but you see like, oh, it's Matthew McConaughey, Charlize Theron, and am I saying it? I'm like, did I say it wrong again? I'm like, now I'm like thinking about it too hard. And then there's a boy that I'd have to look up his name again, but he's from Game of Thrones, and George Takei. He has a small part, but anyway, it's really cool. I highly recommend it. Not for small kids. I had one friend when we were done, she's like, this is kind of scary for kids. And somebody else is like, I think it should have been PG-13. There's no swearing and, like, no sex or anything like that. And not really bad violence, per se. But it has some really creepy elements that are really within, like, Japanese mythology. And stay through the credits because they have other animation, and then they also have a how they made one of the things in it. It's this like giant skeleton, and it's so cool. And they have a really neat cover of My Guitar Gently Weeps. Really cool cover of that. And other random thing, I was trying to look it up again, but a lot of the shamisen, so it's not a guitar, guys. The thing he plays is called a shamisen. It's a Japanese, essentially, their guitar. It's a three-string instrument, which they get into why it's two strings. That's important in the movie. It's a group called Monsters of Shamisen, and they have, like, electric shamisens, and I've seen them perform before. So it's random tie-in. But anyways.
Look at that.
Yes, the skeleton scene was awesome. And you'll know what I mean if you see it. But yeah, I do recommend it. Really cool movie. Not for little kids. And somebody was like, oh, their movies are kind of in between. Like, they're not for kids or adults. I feel adults, and it touches people different ways. Like, I had one friend, like, I had a few friends cry, and other people would be like, oh, like, I didn't cry, but I definitely felt, like, the sweetness and the touching aspects of it. So, I give it two thumbs up.
I mean, it's certainly with when you have Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks, all those things doing their animated fair. I appreciate somebody that's want to push it, make it a little bit more edgier, try some themes and some concepts that, you know, may not just be suitable for all ages, but it does become challenging at the box office when you can't quite necessarily identify it as definitely a kid movie, because there are some more adult themes in there. So it's kind of that, as Carrie is mentioning, kind of like that realm in between. You're kind of in the middle ground.
Somebody on IMDb the discussion board made a really good point of, like, pretty much just know your kids and if they can handle it. There are some intense, like, kind of scary parts in a just really kind of creepy way. So just know what your kids can handle. Like, go with it that way, because some kids, like, they could go at 6 years old and be like, well, no problem. But maybe some kids, maybe you got to wait till they're, like, 12.
No, so. Just know your kids, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
It's never too late to know your kids.
And then, yeah, someone made a good point. They're talking about, like, voice actors country to country. But this was made here, so even if it's, you know, Japanese in theme and story, the actors were done here. But maybe when they take it to other countries, they might just redub it that way.
True. And, I mean, I wonder, does it matter? Because this is, while it's based on Japanese ideas and concepts, it's an original story. So the idea of having some American actors inside there, does it not seem as important because it's original story? It's not like you're taking already like an existing Japanese story and adapting. You're like, well, why wouldn't you use Japanese actors for that?
I think it's, well, it's one of those, it's a hard, because it's the same idea of like, well, if you cast a movie, why aren't those characters of the nationality of the movie it's set? It's weirder with the voice because you don't see them, so it doesn't really matter. That's where it's a touchy subject. I wish there was more people in it of the ethnicity of that the movie is set in, kind of a thing. But I understand why they use big names.
True. I mean, I can understand why, like, when it does kind of, as Carrie, as we've talked about, kind of fall in that kind of quasi realm of maybe kids, maybe adults. Where does it kind of fall in that? Yeah. I mean, you need to do something to try to bring people to the box office, and
this
big names can't do it.
Might be a word of mouth one, because their rating is like in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, and on IMDb they're like 8 something. So they're just like really high ratings on some of the more like sites that people go to look up movie stuff. So
yeah, it seems like a great movie. It'd be
word
a shame for it
thing.
To kind of just drop off in the box office.
I think I like it best out of the other Laika films.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. And rounding out our top five is the movie that I'll be seeing.
Yeah, you got to go see Ben-Hur.
Yes. Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
At the 11.3 million. Did better than I thought.
I'm so excited for you.
Ooh, we're all surprised on that one. We're all like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, as I was reading the article saying just like how disappointing this did in the box office, I was thinking it was going to be really low. I didn't think it was going to even make 10. But then I saw 11, 11.3. I'm like,
and look at that.
Look at that.
Somebody on the chat before was talking about like, oh, it'll be the religious audience of people that go out. But I didn't get that vibe from the trailer that they're pushing any sort of religion card with it. So I'm like, why would you think that that's a push? But I don't know.
I guess I'll find out when I go see this this movie. That's great.
I can't wait to hear all about it.
And yeah, Richard cheated on that one. I agree with you, Alvin. He just did the middle of the road.
You do that every week. So I pulled a Frank.
What?
Actually,
call
me Happy Go Jackie.
That'd be great. Hey, call him. That's right. Yeah, let's do that. So, folks, yeah, as I said, we're gonna be getting closer to the box office bet. So keep chiming in here. Our three films: Don't Breathe, Hands of Stone, and Mechanic Resurrection are the three that we have to choose for this box office bet later on in the show. But first off, as we've been talking about movies And, you know, one of the great things, Carrie, I'm sure you know, when you go to the movies on Saturday for a big birthday celebration, I mean, with 12 people, everybody is hungry when they go to the theater. What do you get? Everybody's got different things that they want to eat. Some people it's popcorn, some people it's candy, nachos, hot dogs, pretzels.
Well, I chose my location because of where we would go eat, but yes.
Ah, well, there you go.
I have friends going like, why are we going to this theater? There's another one that's a little cheaper. I'm like, I know, but there's a ramen place within walking distance.
So there you go.
Because you got to go to ramen after watching that, you know.
It's all perfect. It's all themed, all tied in there. Now, folks, sometimes, you know, you don't want to go out. You want to just stay at home. Some people are homebodies.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd rather stay at home than do that. But you still want to be able to cook and you want to eat good food. So how do you do that? Well, first, you got to try to find great ingredients. And, you know, not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you. So it's important to know where your food comes from. You know, you want to be able to source your products. Now, for Blue Apron, they are fantastic because they are people that they do all that work for you. You don't have to worry about going to farmers markets or grocery stores and sourcing where all this food comes from. They do all the work for you. They find all the best ingredients, and then they put it all together, and then they send it right to you, all portion controlled, all set to go to make a fantastic meal right at home. Now, for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for the community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, you don't have to go out to a restaurant. You can do it right at home.
Wild-caught
Alaskan salmon or heirloom tomatoes. Blue Apron is simply just bringing you the best. Now, they have new recipes that are created weekly, and they're not repeated within a year. So you can choose your meals from a variety of recipes or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. So if you want to just kind of spin the wheel, take your chances there, you won't be disappointed. Now, customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Choose delivery options to fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you can only get deliveries when you want them. So that's a nice deal. You don't feel like you're locked into anything long term. You know, cook what you want. If you want to take a little breather, just go out and eat. You can do that as well, too. No worries. Now, each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. It can be prepared 40 minutes or less. Not bad at all.
That's convenient.
Yes. Wow. You want something that's delicious, quick, and easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free.
Free.
With free shipping, even better, by going to blueapron.com/boxoffice. That's right, folks. We want to be able to help you get some of this delicious food in your belly right there at home. So, yeah, go out and check out blueapron.com/boxoffice. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/boxoffice. Blue Apron has it simply a better way to cook. Look at that. So,
for sure.
Yeah, now as we're talking about ramen noodles, all those great stuff that await for you, all these great culinary things, the international box office awaits us too. What better thing to talk about?
You're talking
about?
Nice.
Let's hear it again around the world.
That's right. Now, The Secret Life of Pets, you know, we kind of stopped talking about it now, but it's come to number one spot at the international box office this weekend for the first time since it went out late June. So, and it looks like it has 45 million in 53 markets, and it's jumped over Suicide Squad, which came in with 38 million in 64 markets. But it had a 36% drop from its sophomore week. So Suicide Squad landed at number two and pushed past the $300 million mark. So now look at that. It has about $310 million with a worldwide total of $572.7 million. Putting it on its way to $600 million globally.
Nice.
I feel like, I don't know, I'd be curious to see what Warner Brothers' expectations were for Suicide Squad. It's not Batman versus Superman, which I know the expectations for that were very high.
Yeah.
$600 million for Warner Brothers and Suicide Squad, do you think they're happy with that total?
I feel this one's going to keep going, though. People are going to...
I mean, and then...
Fans are going to see
DVDs.
It.
Yeah. I think it's just...
Merchandise, dude. Yeah. They're making bank on some merchandise stuff. And, like, costumes and people getting ready. Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, but I love buying action figures, but I've zero interest in buying... I actually did buy the Will Smith Deadshot figure. Just because, like, oh, Will Smith Deadshot? That seems ridiculous. But I didn't really have interest in buying the Jared Leto or the Harley Quinn figures.
But, I mean, it's been a thing all year, even when they were, you know, promoting Batman versus Superman. So I think it's going to continue to have legs.
Mm. Now, as we're talking about Ben-Hur, it opened up with $10.7 million in 23 overseas locations. There were number ones in five markets, including Mexico, India, and the Philippines. And it's basically 31% lower than Exodus, Gods and Kings, and 39% below Hercules in its opening. And War Dogs also opened in 31 markets with a 6.5 million opening in 2,700 screens.
Mm.
So there you go. That was our international update here. Now, as we talked about the movies that are lay ahead for the week, the weekend we'll be talking about here, that you can chime in on which we will do the box office bet on. Mm-hmm. One of those is The Mechanic Resurrection, which stars Jason Statham. So I figured, why don't we do our top five, as we always like to do, kind of inspired by the weekend laying ahead here. And without looking at the top five Jason Statham box office movies. Hmm. Surprisingly, there's a couple, as always, the animated ones, and one he had a cameo appearance, so I kind of discounted those and just focused on ones that he had nice meaty roles in.
Aww.
So coming in at number seven in terms of all sort of box office, but we're going to consider number five for his live action, The Italian Job from Paramount back in 2003, which they keep talking about a sequel for that. Supposedly,
that was a good one.
That was a good movie.
I really enjoyed the movie. That was a really nice concept. Ensemble. Yeah.
Yes.
There, I guess they've always been talking about like the Brazilian Job, which I guess is the name for the sequel. It's still kind of up in the air if that's really going to happen or not.
That could be sexy.
I just think that's funny because
like a Brazilian wax.
That's the first thing I think of. I'm like, that's like a thing you can get.
Yeah, you want to get a, yeah.
Because the Italian Job, I'm like, there's no connection, but like the Brazilian job. That's like you going into your salon and be like, I like the Brazilian Job.
Yeah, I that was just a good example of a fun ensemble that had a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose like with the Ocean 11 or Ocean 11 films, I feel like there's always a couple actors and characters that kind of get like relegated to like the, I think like Casey Affleck and Scott Kahn, just a couple little bit parts. But I feel like it kept a little bit smaller with Italian Job, and they all had a little bit more to do, more fun to watch in that case. Number four for Mr. Statham was The Expendables 2. From Lionsgate back in 2012 with $28.5 million. Big Expendable movies fans, guys?
I saw the first one. I actually didn't love it.
I didn't really
get it. I thought
it
was kind of boring, actually.
It's such a great idea where you take these cool action actors.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And then I just remember, I think I fell asleep or something. Yeah. I was like,
I don't
no.
It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And normally I'm in it, you know, like in the story, but I just couldn't find it there.
It's a shame with all those actors and all the
so much potential.
Yes, that the history of action films that they bring in there. That if it would just been a better story and maybe a better director, that man, that movie could have been great. Number three though was Spy that came out last summer with Melissa McCarthy, a little over 29 million.
So did Transporter not do that good? Because that Transporter's not on there.
No, it is not. It didn't for its opening.
See,
it did
that
not.
That one
make.
Was so good.
Yeah, that
I
was
remember
a really
that
good
being
one.
Awesome.
I guess everybody thinks about him from what?
Transporter was like the big first one.
Yeah. But he also did the Guy Ritchie film.
Snatch.
Snatch, yeah.
Oh, that's what I remember him from.
Snatch
and
was the first
Crank.
One. Crank, yes.
Crank
by 2
is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
But
that's
Lord.
Why it was so fun. Of like, yes. This is crazy. Yes.
Number two for Mr. Statham was the first Expendables film.
Oh, joy.
I saw the first one.
And Ronnie, it's no surprise in terms of its global appeal. Mm-hmm. Furious 7 came out last summer there. $147 million. Certainly none of that. I don't know how much Jason Statham was bringing to that. I mean, although having him as a villain was a cool idea. I was like, oh, I was jazzed to see him as a villain. Mm-hmm. But there was already so much leading into that film that I don't know how much his addition to the cast really like, oh my gosh, now we really have to see. I haven't seen the first six.
They're on movie number 7. I think there's a built-in audience of people like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see the next one.
But I liked having him, and I liked the idea that he didn't die. So he's just locked up and we're going to get a chance to see him again.
Yeah, someone made a good point. Crank movies are awesome because they don't take themselves seriously. Yes. Absolutely. That's why I love it, because it's just bizarre and over the top, but that's what's so fun.
Yeah, in fact, I've been meaning to see. I actually saw like the first part of it in the theater, and then I had to leave, so I didn't get a chance to finish it. So now that I see that it's on HBO, I got to make sure I check it out. I do like the one comment, will Gwen Stefani be in the Don't Breathe soundtrack? Nice. All right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that is a perfect segue there. Yes. To our upcoming films here, as we talked about, Don't Breathe, Hands of Stone, and Mechanic Resurrection. I guess the Mechanic film, you know, I remember it was with Donald Sutherland and Ben Foster, too, from back in 2011. It was fine. It was fine. So curious. So we'll do our top five based on all that. Now, the first Mechanic film yet opened up in 2011 with $11.4 million, and Spy opened up, as we talked about there, with a little over $29 million. So in terms of Jason Statham's box office appeal, I'd be curious what you guys think, how much of that he'll be bringing and how much of that will affect the box office for this release.
Actually, Jason Statham one I wanted to add, Blitz. That was a really good British one. Yeah. It was just... There we go. Tough cop is dispatched to take down a serial killer who's been targeting police officers. That one, it just was a really cool, random one that you probably wouldn't have seen. I don't think it had a big mainstream one. I only saw because I worked at the video store.
Oh, to check that
but
out.
But that one's a good one if you guys like Jason Statham.
All right, oh, so we've
boy.
Got our
Which
top five.
Which one are we going to guess?
So, yes, we got Mechanic, Resurrection, Don't Breathe. We've got Hands of Stone as well as Suicide Squad. Does that have enough to make top number one 4 weeks in a row? Sausage Party, War Dogs, Kubo, and my favorite, Ben-Hur. So I'm
it's
just
going to be your favorite. Well, Ben-Hur, you're going to see it, and you're like, time. It's amazing.
I do not think Ben-Hur can make it in top five for a second week. Oh. But Carrie Lane, let's go with you for
oh,
your
me
top
first?
Five.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, again, well, I don't know if Suicide Squad could hold this number one spot, if only if it keeps dropping, like, the 50%. If we're just going to go based off of that. Oh, gosh. I'm like, see, I should have prepped this ahead of time.
See,
I like it on the fly, though, guys, like, thinking of these, because you're just like, well, how do I feel it's going to be? And now I'm like, oh, boy, now I need a minute. Okay, well, I'm just...
Sure. No, as spitballing, I feel like out of the three that are coming up that we're adding to the mix, I feel like the only one that has a chance would be Mechanic Resurrection possibly doing number one. But that would be a weak, even still a weak number one, I think.
It would be. I think some of the people are talking about in the chat, and I do agree, Don't Breathe, I think, will do well. Horror movies always do well.
Enough to do number one?
That one I don't think so as much, because I feel that one, like, when Richie was talking about, we were both like, one movie? Like, yeah. It's just not as well known. But they always do well because they don't spend a lot of money in making them, so
Very
then they
true.
Make a good turnaround because they make more money. I don't know if that would necessarily be number one, though. What? Which one is Hands of Stone? I'm like, which one's that one now?
Oh, it's a drama from the Weinstein.
It's about boxing.
Yeah, it's got...
yes, okay.
Usher in it.
Oh, there you go. I think I like this. Someone in the chat was saying
like Sugar Ray Leonard's story.
Oh, that's right.
Involved somehow. Yeah, okay. Usher plays Sugar Ray Leonard.
Okay. I have mine.
Oh, okay. I like that a couple people in the chat are one saying that this coming up box office weekend is going to be pretty weak. I agree. I'm like, oh, it's hard. And I like someone said that Suicide Squad will be number one with only like 13 million. And I'm like, oh, then that's going to be pretty bad of the other ones. Well, Richie, you seem so
no
excited,
can.
So go ahead.
So I'm going to say, interestingly enough,
okay.
I'm going to say Mechanic,
okay.
number one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Don't Breathe, number two.
Yeah.
Mm. Then I'm going to say Suicide Squad, number three. Then I'm going to say... Sausage Party number four, and then I'm going to say Hands of Stone.
What? Interesting. All right.
All right. Just because...
I do like that they're saying here, Don't Breathe.
Okay, yeah, everyone's so excited for that one.
Why did you get to say $34 million for that?
Ooh, I don't think I'm going to go that high, but you know what? Because I like having my crazy predictions, because sometimes they're right, though, because sometimes box office, you really don't know. It's going to be like...
I think it's
like
going to do well.
This one, this weekend, we all were like... Oh, that's not exactly what we thought. Except for the thing of we did think, oh, the boobies are going to be really close, which they are.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Let's go crazy. I'm going to go with Don't Breathe for number one, because horror movies. And there's no other horror movie out right now, so that will be number one. Will Suicide Squad hold on to two? Let's say Suicide Squad will go to number two. Mechanic three... Sausage Party four, maybe not if it's dropping half. Hands of Stone, yeah, no, I'm like, no. Let's. I know, right? You're like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm like, ah, oh. Okay. Sausage Party for three. Did I say that was three? Three. War Dogs four and Kubo five.
Whoa, it's Kubo sticking in the top
Let's
five.
Keep it
All
in the
right,
top five,
I like the optimism.
Word of mouth, word of mouth. It's
That's
gonna
right.
pass
okay.
around.
All right, we got some people here chiming in. I got Jamie saying Suicide Squad, Don't Breathe, Sausage Party, Mechanic Resurrection, and Pete's Dragon.
Pete's
Dragon will make a comeback.
Make
wow,
it, yeah,
okay.
that gets down to six.
Is this part two?
Yeah. I agree with like Don't Breathe and then maybe like Sausage Party, then Mechanic. Like, it's gonna be one of those like, well, they're gonna, I feel it's gonna be close again. I feel next weekend the numbers, it's gonna be hard to guess because they're gonna all be like
really
14
really close.
13 12 11, you know. Yeah. So it's not gonna be like 20 to 10.
Oof. I man, that's a, you know, I feel like Suicide Squad, the way it's dropping, I just don't. I'm gonna say Mechanic, Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, Sausage Party, and War Dogs. I feel like sadly Kubo will be out of the top five by next weekend. That's my thought. Yes. So all right. So as we talked about, there are top five. Those are our predictions. But we always do one for the box office bet. So folks, as we've been chiming in here, I haven't seen too much action. So we'll just do it real quickly here. If anybody has a thought about what we should do for our box office bet, whether it be box office bet, whether it be Mechanic Resurrection, Don't Breathe, or Hands of Stone, chime in right now. The first one that we see right here. Whoever says
first three in a row.
Yes.
Yep.
There you go.
The biggest debate.
Here we go. Okay, guys. So yeah, one should we bet on? Because one of us who gets it wrong
has to go.
The
see
furthest
it.
Away in the amount will have to go see it. So let's go, chat room. Come on, guys. We know you're watching. You chime
don't
in. Okay, so we got one for Hands of Stone. We need something that has three, guys. Just because if it's first, it's two types of fastest.
I'll watch when Richie watches it. There you go. Yeah, Richie Sky, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, we'll just watch together.
Hands of Stone.
Okay, I guess maybe Hands of Stone, because I was like, well, thank you. I think it's Alban, only person who chimed in right away.
Hands of Stone, that's two.
Two.
Don't breathe.
Don't breathe. Oh. Come on, don't breathe. Don't breathe. Don't breathe. Just say don't breathe, everybody.
We need one more, guys, to make it solid.
I am
to set it in stone.
Oh, it is Hands of Stone.
Yeah.
Just beat out Sylvia Love. Seal the deal with us for Hands of Stone.
Sylvia, you have to go see that movie.
All right, so the box office bet, as always, will be whoever gets, as Carrie was saying, the furthest away from the actual box office will have to go see that movie in the theater. Tell us all about it the following week. Hopefully, you know, you stick to the spirit of the bet and you see it relatively, you know, soon after its release. You know, Richie? All right. So the film is Hands of Stone. It's got Usher. It has Robert
Look
De Niro.
At all those don't breathes right there. Like, why aren't we using those?
That, where
no,
were you?
See,
you know, everyone,
with
I'm
breathe,
with you. I'm
he's
with
excited
you
to go see it. So we need to pick ones that none of us are excited to go
that's
see.
True.
Oh, did I say I was excited? No.
You did see
no,
you
don't
seem
breathe.
Like it.
There you go. All right. So
you
where
see,
did we
you were like, guys, have you heard
I am excited to see it. I can't even lie. I want them to pick it. And they all did. Thank you.
No, they're laughing. Well, you're probably going to see it anyways, and if you lose a bet, you got to see another one.
All right, so I
no,
guess...
No, no, opening weekend, you'll see it, and then the next weekend is when you'll see the other one, because you won't know the numbers till the end
of
the weekend.
Well, why are we saying I'm going to have to go see it? Like, let's not bet on that.
All right, Hands of Stone, I'll go first. I can say so you kind of flicks up. Ah, there we go. Thank you, James. We got a little movie, Price is Right music. I'm going to say Hands of Stone, opening weekend for, I feel like I've only really seen one trailer, although I do like, Sugar Ray Leonard, played by Usher, Robert De Niro in a boxing movie as a manager. Oh, but it's, I feel like there's not a lot of buzz about it, at least as far as I know. So I'm going to go, man, all right, if Ben-Hur did 11, I feel like this is even,
And it wasn't even in your top five.
No, but I feel like at least I had like a spectacle, so I could see why I could do a little bit better at the box. I feel like Hands of Stone, I don't think it could. I'm going to go, I'll go 10.5 million for Hands of Stone.
10? Okay.
Yes, 10.5.
Well, because people do like the, it's boxing, yeah? I'm sorry, I didn't look this one up. But people like those movies, though, so you went 10.5?
Yes.
11.
11?
Well,
all right.
Actually, well, then that's hoping everything in the box office makes more than 11, because I didn't have it in my top five. Fine, I'll stick with 11.
All right, Richie Sky.
You do know that I've never done this, but I could guess the same number as someone else. I just thought about that because she chose my number.
No, no, because like a Price is Right, they can't pick the same. You can do above half and like.
Who watches
below.
That show?
A lot of people.
Yeah. I like in the chat room that Sylvia, he called you out and you were like, yeah, we'll go see that movie. So good job.
Yes, Sylvia. Okay, so I was going to say...
You can do quarters, good point. If you want a 7-5, that's not really part of the rules, but
yeah,
go for
Alvin,
it.
Alvin's on you, Richie. Don't
Well, first
cheat.
Of all, that's not cheating. I'm just going in between if I wanted
that's
to.
That's cheating. That's
I'll say 12.
12. Okay. Oh, all right. Look
Big
at that.
Spender.
Well, it's kind of the same as last time. We had like 1-1 and then the middle.
Oh, somebody tried to suggest you take 6 million, Richie, but...
6?
No, right. Oh my God, like... You want me to 11. Lose.
Well, if you went with...
I went 10-5, you went with 11,
but
and
you
Richie
could do
9 12.
If you think it's going to be less.
No, I was actually going to give it more, but
all right,
just not. I'm not going to tip the odds.
So those are our box office bets, locked in stone. Oh, there you go, and we'll find out who will be seeing that film next week. Get excited, everybody! Yeah. In the meantime, I'll be seeing Ben-Hur.
And I'm excited about that.
Will you be seeing Nine Lives and Sausage Party? You got to hurry up with Nine Lives, because if you don't see it soon, it's going to be going away for a while.
Well, hey, guys, speaking of the cheating, we can look back. There's a video of this right now, so we can go back, which we have done of like, wait,
there's
what did
no,
we
listen,
say?
Listen, there's no cheating. I mean, here's the thing. I will be very honest with you and tell you if I did not see it.
Yeah. No, no, they're just like saying in the chat room, guys, they're like, hey, write down your numbers. This video we can look at. And it's
Our
numbers.
Everyone remembers.
We have spoken it.
When the person loses.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I look at
Or you guys have told us on Twitter. Thank you. We've had that. They're like,
thanks, guys, for holding us accountable. Reach out on Twitter
that way. Yes. All right, Jimmy, I thank you for sticking with me. Woo! I got somebody agreeing with me about $10 million. All right. Look at that. I feel good about my pick.
You have to go see it, too.
So that is going to do it. A lot of suspense waiting for us. Yeah, we should start tying in whoever chimes in with us to pick the movie.
You got to go too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, be like, hey, chat room, you have to go.
That's right. So folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But as always, thanks so much for hopping in the chat. We love having you guys interacting with us during the course of the show. As always, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hop in the chat like you always do. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation about films or anything else during the course of the week, you can reach us on the interwebs and the Twitterverse. Richie Sky, where can they find you?
You guys can stalk me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
Just jamming out here. I'm like, woo! Hey, guys, yeah, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And then feel free to tweet at us your box office predictions. And yes, please feel free to hold us accountable of who won the bet for next week. And thank you so much for leaving the comments on YouTube. We love reading those and continuing the discussion. So thank you.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. We'll see you here next Monday night to find out who's going to be seeing Hands of Stone. Can't wait. Here on Box Office Breakdown. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.